Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Darkly. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. This is 1 Corinthians 13, I'm reading verse 11. "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Verse 12. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known." The word darkly in Strong's is number 135. It comes from another word in its primary sense, meaning an obscure saying, enigma, that is, abstractly obscuredness. In the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, 11-12 says, "It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I've put away the childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we were peering at His reflection in a poor mirror. But someday we're going to see Him in His completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred, but then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now." The word darkly can be translated dimly. Paul described the Corinthians as babes. They were getting their needs met by humbling themselves and crying out to God. Paul had put this behavior behind him and was not looking for any excuse for not growing up spiritually. Paul was deceiving himself, following a way that seemed right when he met Jesus the first time and had a good attitude to conviction. He made a fresh start, relying on conviction and the Holy Spirit to come to the truth. Conviction should have a high priority in your life following Christ. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Verse 4. "So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." The word understanding in Strong's is number 7922. It comes from another word which means intelligence, by implication, success, discretion, knowledge, policy, prudence, sense, understanding, wisdom, or wise. The spiritually wise with discretion and knowledge use mercy and the word of truth to repent of bad fruit manifesting on the narrow way. Those who do not like conviction and correction only have earthly wisdom. The grace and mercy you experience daily is a fruit of your own humility and the chastening you've been through yourself following Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." in the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1, Who Are You? On pages 15 and 16, Joseph Hedgecock writes, when you are wise and obey what God says, godly fruit begins to manifest. Changes first take place in your attitude towards the Lord. The way you think changes. This is part of the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. He changes what you believe, think, and how you act to agree with the Word of God. Typically, those who function from the natural realm begin with a conclusion they believe is the truth. If they find clear scriptures that contradict their belief, their reasoning rejects them. They adjust what the Word of God says to agree with what they have already chosen to believe. This deception is rampant in the church today. Preconceived notions of what is true will deceive you every time. It's the Holy Spirit's job to tell you the truth. You are required to study, to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Your natural mind cannot and never will be able to rightly divide the truth. Truth is revealed and confirmed by the Spirit of God. Everything you believe should be confirmed by the Spirit before you release your faith into it. Remember, what you think you know hinders you from knowing what God wants you to know. Those using the grace to repent of what God shows them through the Word will never be put to shame. They will be able to hear when others cannot. Deal with root issues, not just the bad fruit, and your life will be transformed. You will continue in the grace for His plan to be perfectly fulfilled in your lifetime. What you think you know about His plan can hinder you from knowing what you need to know now. Use a notebook to record different areas where there is no real change in your lifestyle since being born again. Do not adjust the Word of God to fit your lifestyle. Instead, adjust your lifestyle to fit the teachings of Jesus. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 11 to 14. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'm reading verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Noah Webster in 1828 defined goad as something to incite, to stimulate, to investigate, to urge forward, or to rouse by anything pungent, severe, irritating, or inflaming. He was goaded by sarcastic remarks or by abuse, goaded by desire or other passion. If you do not understand something important now in your relationship with God, it's only because you're serving two masters. Solomon, as a king, used well to understand many things through knowledge. He concluded the best information is pungent, severe, or irritating words that come from the mouths of those hearing his voice like sheep following the great shepherd. He told his own son not to waste time making many books based on anything else. Fear God and keep his commandments. Solomon also wrote in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. This is in Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. The word understanding in Strong's is number 998. It comes from another word which means understanding, knowledge meaning very perfectly, understanding or wisdom. The carnal believe their own understanding is perfect, even with all their assumptions. God is faithful to the promises in His Word, so when they stop working, everyone will realize where they are going wrong and repent. If you're stubborn, God can be even more stubborn. In areas where you are convicted with godly sorrow, you will get time to apply what you have learned and repent deeply. Your understanding gained before salvation with your mind that did not come through a love relationship with God is corrupt and has to be removed through repentance. God can be trusted with your whole life, so you never have to lean to your own understanding again. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Verse 14, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You were chosen to represent God's kingdom on earth. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, in purpose, or action. To be his representative, you cannot take things personally when others mistreat you, rebelling against God. Keep your heart open to those who need to repent. Remember that you got grace and mercy to repent deeply of the lies you believe for the sake of your flesh. His kingdom is here now by the Spirit for those who want to hear, trust, and obey, even when others do what they want when they want. Your daily needs are met through prayer, hearing, and obeying God. Ask God not to lead you into areas where there is a risk of losing something eternal for the sake of something temporal. You do not need to deliver yourself from evil, as he can do that through prayer and following his instructions. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul had been delivered by hearing God in many complicated situations, but told Timothy he needed to study because things were going to get worse. When your communication with God stops working, you need to follow godly instructions and repent. Timothy knew the scriptures, but was not getting enough conviction. Cannot be wise unto salvation if you're still wise in your own eyes. Conviction and correction will prepare you for what God is going to use you for next. We read in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. This is Acts chapter 14 and reading verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Be ready to remove the reasons you still lean to your own understanding for the sake of some light afflictions. The foundations of those disciples travelling with Paul were shaken. Paul had to confirm who was still following Christ after he'd been stoned, presumed dead. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. This is Romans chapter 14, I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. In the book Wake Up Time is running out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 7, on the joy of my salvation, on pages 114 to 115, Joseph Hedgecott writes, years ago I was in the security business. I worked at a large outdoor restaurant. My job was to keep people from sitting on the cars and enforce the rules of the business. I had to deal with drug gangs. I believe I was going to get killed doing what God said to do. When I finally had a major confrontation, not only did I have the peace that passes all understanding, I had joy. The presence of God came on me in a strong way as I faced 25 men who were planning to kill me. All I wanted to do was laugh, but the situation was not laughable. I faced the gang leader, who was a big man, and tried not to grin. I felt no fear or terror. I told him to either obey the rules or leave. He replied, I am not doing either one. My answer was that he had no choice. He had to do one or the other. But he said, are you crazy? I can snap my fingers and you are dead. I replied, go ahead and kill me. When you do, the owner will call the police. They will come and arrest you. Either way, you are leaving. He was so angry. His veins were standing out on his neck and face. All of a sudden, fear came on him. He waved his hand in the air, and all of them ran to their motorcycles and left. I stood there with peace and joy, wondering what had happened. I always had a reputation of being cool under pressure, but this went beyond what I had thought was possible. It is amazing how you can hear the Lord say something in a threatening situation because you have His peace. If you do not have His peace, your mind will try to find another option to deal with the situation. I had no thoughts or plans as I faced the gang because I knew God promised to take care of me. The kingdom of God has been on earth since the day of Pentecost to assist all those serving and representing God on earth. In complicated situations, the kingdom provides, number one, righteousness that comes directly by asking God what to do. Two, lasting, eternal peace that is beyond your understanding. Number three, fullness of joy for those who need it in abundance. You will be approved serving acceptably with these three things. What is your excuse for not serving with the help of God's kingdom now? There are only reasons why you cannot be used in God's kingdom on earth, and these can be removed by repentance. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21 to 23. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You are recreated in the image of Christ, not to make choices about what is lawful in any situation. In these last days, the devil can direct your path through the flesh if you do not acknowledge God in all your ways. The cup of Christ is doing what the Father wants, even if it means submitting to a corrupt authority, being weak and uncomfortable. The devil just wants you to do what you want, when you want, and listen to your flesh. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Verse 10, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. Through repentance, the Corinthians became strong again in the faith after being corrected by Paul, but he told them to do no evil. He could see that they did not yet have the foundation to handle what was coming next. Paul was not doing anything against the truth in his life, even though he was weak. He was going through more pressure, learning to depend on God in new areas of his life. If you take up your cross weekly or monthly, or when there is a crisis, you'll not be ready for what's coming next. To be Lord and Savior, Jesus had to become weak. He had to give up everything. He had to come to the earth in human form. He had to be rejected by his own people, endure the cross, and die in your place publicly as a criminal. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, the Father raised him from the dead to prove Christ was not a reprobate. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24, and reading to verse 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The word morrow in Strong's is number 839, from a derivative of the same as another word meaning a breeze, that is, the morning air. Properly fresh, that is, adverbially with the eclipse of tomorrow or the next day. Those thinking about their daily needs are still serving two masters. God fed a whole nation in the wilderness. He provides a period of time like a light breeze for you to hear his instructions clearly before any evil storm arrives. Make a journal of your daily activities over a period of time to see what ideas came from God that worked and what ideas came from leaning to your own understanding. You will not escape evil using your mind to make decisions. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? God will always tell you what to do in complicated situations if you develop your ability to hear his voice and obey. You are not designed to make individual choices based on the knowledge of good and evil. Why even think about your own fragile lives? Jesus died so you could choose a life controlled by the Spirit, and that's all. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to them all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also." Listen to your own interests, desires, dreams, and ideas, and you'll become a castaway. If you're not following Christ, you're following the devil. Follow Christ by the Spirit or the lifestyle and practice of those who have fruit in their lives. They are denying themselves and taking up their cross daily. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 17. "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face." Verse 18, "that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse 19, "lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Verse 20, "but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal." Verse 21, "for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Verse 22, "the light of the body is the eye, and if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled of light." Verse 23, "but if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Those seeking God through prayer and repentance do not do things to be seen by others. Those who want to be seen by their friends today use social media. Posting events and pictures is often time-consuming. Social media can fill your heart with the wrong priorities. At the root of all sin is a dark belief about God that he is not trustworthy. Through social media, many lies can be reinforced in those who believe if you serve God, you'll never have fun again the rest of your life. Those who believe lies about God have no proof of what they believe, but still do things without asking God because they do not trust God. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Verse 7. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." Verse 8. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Verse 9. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Godliness is an abstract noun from the word godly. It means piety, a state of humility, belief in God, and reverence for his character and laws. Noah Webster in 1828 defined this as, 1. A religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God, and performance of religious duties proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands Christian obedience. Number 2, revelation, the system of Christianity. With the wrong priorities, you'll always be discontent. Godliness is a state of humility, hearing and obeying God through any form of communication or conviction. those with godliness and contentment have acquired the right things and not been corrupted by earthly gain. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:11-12 says, "When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good." We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us. The bonding process between parents and a child involves some visible expressions and emotions in the beginning to provide feelings of safety and security. Everyone needs assurances as a baby, but there's a time and a place for everything. There is grace for where you are now, but no grace to stay where you are. God answers prayers, but right now there is an urgent need in the body of Christ for everyone personally to develop state-of-the-art communication with God. Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with the living God by the Spirit. Be honest about your reactions in complicated situations and repent if necessary. You cannot keep making the same mistakes again and again for the sake of your flesh if you want to grow up spiritually. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ." God gave everyone a conscience, just in case you did not do what is right and good. Those not serving Christ acceptably will perish. What is your reason for not learning obedience to the Spirit now that you're born again? Be faithful to the truth under the pressure He allows for the sake of your calling. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verse 8. "For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Verse 9. "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation." Verse 10. "For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, specially of those that believe." Verse 11. "These things command and teach." The Holy Spirit can set incredible deadlines for those living by faith, denying themselves. If you make any mistakes, you can repeat the exercise again in similar conditions. Use the peace of God to keep your mind still under pressure so that the Holy Spirit can drop thoughts in your mind. Later, ask God to show you where you did not ask God because of the pressure. Make no excuses of being even a few minutes late if you're repenting of dead works. Timothy was commanded to teach godliness like this for the sake of those trusting God on the narrow way. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." The word mystery in Strong's is number 3466. Comes from another word which means to shut the mouth, a secret or mystery. through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into religious rites, a mystery. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And great and important and weighty, we confess, is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. He, God, was made visible in human flesh, justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit, was seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory." Jerusalem was occupied by the Romans, and the Jews were playing lip service to God when Jesus came the first time. Only the carnally minded struggled to believe how Jesus overcame in that situation. Those who listen to their flesh invent rules based on doubts, making it more complicated for themselves and others. There are only two rules in Christianity. Number one, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, don't do it. Jesus emptied himself of all his divine power and still accomplished all that he was supposed to do without ever sinning. So what are you waiting for? Start asking God in the small things and you'll soon get there. There's no shortcut. If you only ask God the big issues like ministry, you will have many disappointments doing dead works in between. Get a solid foundation and prove the will of God in the small things first. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 8. "Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away." Verse 9, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away." The Corinthians had some knowledge and could get the victory in one or two areas, but they were still sinning. When knowledge ceases, if you're operating like a little child, hearing and obeying God consistently, you'll be ready for anything. A deep dependency on God and humility is required to live in the kingdom. Do not rely on prophecy or on the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church to hear God personally. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 says, "Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gifts of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth." If you make a mistake, he is there to correct and chasten those he loves. Despite his love, truth through conviction is very rare today in the church. Carnal Christians have imprisoned themselves with lies they want to believe for the sake of their flesh, because they don't like chastening and correction. By developing a love for the truth in more challenging situations, you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Your own love for God in terms of ministry can be deceptive. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Verse 2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so they could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing." Verse 3. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing." In the past, God used many great saints in building churches that lasted a few generations that today are empty, not used, decaying or destroyed. What those saints did out of love for God in obedience to his Spirit, no matter how small, is the basis of the reward they will receive in eternity. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 5. "So this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Verse 6. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The church of Ephesus, located on a major trade route, had a good understanding of what was going on in the rest of the world. However, they were not able to prove what was acceptable unto the Lord in their daily lives. They were serving hopes and dreams, and after some major disappointments, turned to politics instead. If you love the truth, then you will repent deeply when convicted, unless you prefer darkness for the sake of your flesh. Those who ask God in a crisis get some life, but fail to become children of light because they are not willing to follow Christ. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Ephesians 5 and verse 5 says, For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought or in life, or one who is covetous, who has lusting desire for the property of others, and is greedy for gain, for he in effect is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. The kingdom of God and of Christ is here now since the day of Pentecost, for nearly 2,000 years, for those who want to experience a better quality of life. You can make a fresh start with seven things Paul mentioned here. Number one, a whoremonger has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Number two, any unclean person using the internet has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Number three, a covetous man or woman has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Number four, those making something more sacred than consistent obedience to the Spirit have absolutely no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Number five, a partnership with those serving two masters to get what they need in this life is foolish. Number six, goodness, righteousness, and truth is needed in all areas of life. And number seven, those walking in the light with conviction and godliness are eventually prove what is acceptable to the Lord Jesus by the Spirit as they obey what he says first. You don't need a lot of information to walk in the light. Just walk in the light you have and you'll be given more. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 26. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Those studying and applying the word of truth will not be put to shame. Now is the time to grow up spiritually and develop a love for truth and conviction coming through the teachings of Jesus. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. This is Hebrews chapter 5, and read verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he heard, offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus became perfect by hearing and obeying under greater levels of pressure over a period of time. You can do the same by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. We read in John chapter 10, verses 23-33. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, and reading verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Verse 24, Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long wilt thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25, And Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I've said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Verse 32, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Christians, only hearing his voice occasionally or through dreams and visions after many years, are resisting conviction and correction. They can hear God in some areas, but too lazy to repent of lies they want to believe for the sake of their flesh. Jesus did not use his divine nature when he was on the earth, because if he did, then we would all be lost. When Jesus was opening the eyes of the blind, it was because the Father wanted him to help those confessing their sins that came to him. The miracles of Christ were proof that his Father was doing the work by the Spirit through Jesus. Man was created in the image of God and had a connection to God before sin came into this world. The religious Jews, believing lies, were ready to stone Jesus because he claimed to have equality with God. Jesus died so that you can also have equality with God in Christ. If you believe no one can snatch you out of God's hand without being led by the Spirit, you're deceiving yourself. We read in John chapter 8, verse 30, and reading to verse 38. This is John chapter 8, and read verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Verse 35. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides always. Verse 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Jesus told his new converts that they were not free and would kill him, defending lies in their hearts, if they did not repent deeply. In areas where you are not being led and controlled by the Spirit, you are still thinking. Hear and obey swiftly, and you'll not have time to listen to any doubts that slip out and block your faith. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 17. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 1, this is verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The religious Jews, keeping their own traditions, thought they were ready for his first appearing based on a private interpretation of the scriptures. They expected the Messiah just to kick out the Romans. Are you waiting for God to make your life more comfortable? Those trusting in the finished work of Christ, not continuing in his word when circumstances change, are deceiving themselves. You've been given grace and truth to grow up spiritually in any situation. Even the law of Moses provided some conviction for those who wanted to grow through getting more grace to repent deeply. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. This is Hebrews chapter 3, I'm reading verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. some of the converted Jews put outside the city of Jerusalem in humble circumstances were still serving two masters and about to depart from the living God. They needed Paul's help to repent. Seeing dimly is an advantage when everyone else has fallen asleep and been deceived. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, the Father and the Word of Truth, manifested in the flesh, sent to remove all the excuses for sin built on lies. God is not the problem. Even the devil is not the problem. Man is the problem, rebelling against God by serving the flesh rather than submitting to God to do his perfect will by grace through faith. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. This is Romans chapter 6, I'm reading verse 17. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Doctrines of Jesus and those of a true apostle passed on to you must be accepted with your whole heart as truth until proven otherwise. Even with the best teacher, those with a confidence in the flesh rely on natural discernment instead and make excuses for disobeying the Holy Spirit. Those who are humble listen to the teacher, follow instructions, and do not make the same mistake twice. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The word lively in Strong's is number 2198. It's a primary verb to live, literally or figuratively, a lifetime. Lively or quick. I use the sound teaching I received from Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, to become a lively stone. I had to hear and obey under pressure. The following things have to be removed to become a lively stone in his household of faith. Number one, malice or hatred towards others in the body of Christ. Two, all guile, doing things in a subtle way to cause someone else to fail or compromise so you can do what you want. Number three, hypocrisies, big differences in your actions and what you communicate in words that you want others to hear. Number four, envies or a jealousy of what others have because you were lazy and they were not. Number five, any evil speaking or talking negatively about others, especially leaders sent to bring conviction and correction. You need the milk of God's word, striving against sin as wrong attitudes and motives will separate you from his presence. In areas where I stopped serving sin, I had to seek for reasons why I disobeyed under a small amount of pressure first. This prevented worse fruit appearing in others that were spiritually lazy. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I read verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. The Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, Brethren, do not be children, immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil, but in your minds be mature men. Malice appearing in your heart is a sign you are not childlike. Malice comes from thinking when you do not have all the facts. When corrected by a preacher of righteousness, you will not receive the correction. Hindered by immature thinking, seeking ministry, or something other than the truth. God has not been corrupted and wants everyone everywhere to come to repentance. He will not overlook sin just because 7.8 billion people on this earth are all deceiving themselves with earthly wisdom. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and reading verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God in divine things, with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance." Those that walk by faith have a holy fervor and trust. They see conviction as a blessing. Did you see conviction as a blessing when you're on a way that seems right? If you did, you will see it as a blessing now when you see dimly. If you do not see conviction as a blessing, you're walking in darkness. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 6. "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you believe that God is the one who says he is, you can decide to obey God before he says anything, because he can be trusted with your whole life in trials and difficulties. Those living by faith ask God the small things. Doubts are dark areas in your life based on lies you want to believe about God, so you can do what you want when you want. Man was created to diligently seek God and not to come to truth or make decisions with his own mind. Look at the bad fruit that comes from listening to your heart and mind and repent. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 verses 3 to 9. This is Matthew's gospel. Chapter 18, starting in verse 3. "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offences, for it must needs be that offences come, but woe to that man by whom the offences comes. Verse 8. Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9. And if the eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Those in the church that believe God gave you a brain, expects you to use it, do not want you to grow up spiritually. They are keeping you ignorant for the sake of their flesh, so they can live like hypocrites. For the sake of his bride, God is slowly removing anything and everything in this world used to make lives comfortable on planet Earth in these last days. When Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth, everyone will find out how spiritual they really are. This will be based on how much they love the truth and use mercy to repent deeply. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 24-27, says, these words I spoke to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Those who obey the Spirit swiftly like a little child can enjoy the benefits of his kingdom now. Those not abiding in his kingdom as the storm approaches will be swept away. Doubts are a fruit of using natural discernment to make decisions. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Proverbs 3, 7 and 8 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil, and shall be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow, and moistening to your bones. In the Living Bible, Proverbs 3, 7 and 8 says, do not be conceited, sure of your own wisdom. Instead, trust and reverence the Lord, and turn your back on evil. When you do that, then you'll be given renewed health and vitality. The evangelist Charles Finney knew in his mind what God required in terms of repentance, as he was a lawyer by profession. He agonized in prayer because he knew that he could not help God. He relied on the Holy Spirit to ensure that he did not interfere with God's plans and stayed humble. In meetings, Charles would let the Bible fall open, and where he put his finger into the pages, he started reading and preaching. He would speak for 2 to 3 hours. It was always anointed. He often tried to record what God said through him afterwards, but the Lord would not allow him to use the same sermon twice. David wrote in the Psalms, chapter 37, verses 5 to 8. This is in the Psalms, chapter 37, I'm reading verse 5. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings forth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. God puts those who are uncompromisingly righteous on a lampstand like Charles Finney for others to follow. Spiritual lessons can take time, like trusting God with your whole heart. The hardest lessons should not be left to the end of your life. God uses life-threatening situations when time is short. When things end up in your life the way they do, you know God is not the problem. Jesus said, in Mark 9, 47 to 48. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 47. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Verse 48. Where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus paid the price for you to be directed by the Spirit and let him make all the right decisions. The kingdom of God is here for those with a heart after God, to help you break old habits as this world is passing away. You are given grace at salvation to get in Christ. You just need to hear, trust, and obey the Spirit to abide. Do not let your eye misdirect you and come out of his kingdom. Keep growing spiritually, as there are always new lessons to be learned. If you are faithful to obey what you hear by the Spirit and make Jesus Lord, you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. When Jesus came the first time, grace was running out for the religious leaders that created devilish doctrines for those seeking an outward righteousness and playing lip service to God. Jesus is coming again, and those satisfied just to hear God in one or two areas like ministry will be left behind. Iniquity is departing from the truth in any area of life where you have been convicted. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Mankind got a second chance through what Jesus did for us on the cross, to serve God and all creation. Man was connected to God in the beginning to represent him. If you are not serving Christ, you are serving the devil. The Father proved he is trustworthy, guiding his own Son with the Holy Spirit, who came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He knows best in every area, emotionally and mentally. Jesus was tempted like us in every way and became Lord of all because he never sinned. Man was created in the image of God. You can be like Jesus by obeying his Spirit consistently if you're born again. The devil cannot blind your spirit to the truth unless you have hardened your hearts to conviction. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Christianity is not an insurance policy against the fire. The final judgment has not been delayed or cancelled. Those still holding on to anything in this world in these last days will have to accept the mark of the beast. If you defile the temple of God by hardening your heart, how will you ever come to the truth when you need to hear? Start by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Keep the commands he gives you by his Spirit. Make no excuses, and you will experience God delivering you from your own craftiness and get a taste for the Spirit-led life. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. This is Romans chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God used the Romans to destroy the temple in AD 70 after the Jews refused to accept the conviction and repent deeply of killing the Christ. God is no respecter of persons. The wrath of God will be revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in those using one part of Scripture to do what they want when they want. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Heaven has not been corrupted. You should be living a chastened life of obedience if you want to be ready for his appearing. With God's grace, anything is possible. You've been given the Holy Spirit to do the perfect will of God and enter the kingdom of heaven now. If you come out of his presence and there is still time to repent, enter again and learn from your mistakes. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 13, 11-12, it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Now that I've become a man, I'm done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now we're looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. After many years following Christ, Paul explained he was still not seeing things clearly. He had grown up and lost many things following Christ, but not complaining. He was confident that God was doing a good job, completely righteous in all his decisions, and happy serving the living God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Here are some of the fruits of growing up spiritually. Number one, all things will keep passing away through deep repentance. Number two, new things will come in their place by grace through faith. Number three, others will be reconciled to God through your example as you follow Christ. God is in control of everything, even though the devil is the god of this world. The kingdom is here now for those who want to be controlled by the Spirit and kill the flesh. Only those following Christ are reconciled to God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul was passing on spiritual lessons he learned to others in complicated situations. He did not have the wealth of King Solomon, but was following the great shepherd. Timothy was told to pass on things Paul learned to the faithful few. He had to find those who already obeyed the truth in complicated situations. Those serving two masters eventually give up doing God's perfect will because they will not endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25, I'm reading to verse 36. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Verse 29. And he shall speak to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. Verse 30, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Verse 31, so likewise ye, when you see things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Verse 34, and take heed of yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with eating and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Only those ready for his appearing will stand before the Son of Man. Fear and anxiety increased globally since COVID. Those keeping his commands are growing fast in these last days. If you're looking anywhere else, you'll get distracted from studying the word of truth. You don't need to understand politics or get a clear picture of what's going to happen next. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 32 and 33. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 32. Remember Lot's wife, verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Lot's wife was turned to stone, looking back to see those things which she had built perishing through fire. The world is passing away slowly. Now, for your sake, for those who want to repent deeply, God has let the world develop for almost 2,000 years for the sake of a few Gentiles who do not want to be lawless anymore. Jesus explained to his disciples in Matthew 13, verses 13 to 17. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 15, For this people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Those following Christ with the right motive and attitude to God have eyes to see. Jesus used parables for the sake of those trying to come to the truth using their minds. God will use those who have become like little children to help those who want to grow up spiritually in these last days. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Living like a sacrifice is the only reasonable, acceptable, and logical way to live the Christian life. By grace, through faith, start obeying his orders step by step. Thinking is dangerous. Be sober in your thinking, knowing that you cannot come to truth using your natural carnal mind. You do not need to see the end from the beginning to serve faithfully in the kingdom of heaven. You have the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth if you're born again. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 26 to verse 30. This is John 5. I'm starting in verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus will decide who is worthy to be in the first resurrection. Jesus did nothing without first hearing from his Father by the Spirit. To consult your mind, you have to think. Those who start thinking in complicated situations are not fit to rule and reign with Christ. Get rid of your own ideas as you hear, trust, and obey without an opinion. We read in Matthew 13, verses 10 to 12. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Verse 12. But whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he that hath more abundance. For whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. In the Message Bible, Matthew 13, verse 11 to 12 says, he replied, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. You have been given the ability to hear, know, and follow Christ now. You have all the tools that came in the package of salvation to save yourselves and serve in his kingdom. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, love, these things, but the greatest of these is love. For information on how to develop a love relationship with God, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. This world is passing away, but three things will remain to ensure everyone everywhere has the same opportunity to develop a perfect relationship with God now. God provides his commands for us to obey through the Spirit so we can express love back to him. With his pure love, no one will ever sin again. Start by obeying his commands at one level of endurance, but keep obeying when the circumstances change or the commands get greater. Either way, his love is eternal and not overcome or affected by anything else in this world. You will not let anything get between you and your relationship with God and finish your race. His love is absent in your heart when you sin or get angry or judge others. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. In the kingdom of heaven, everything is done out of love. Any work without a motive of God's love has no eternal value. Do you believe this in your heart? If you do, then your life will be transformed. Keeping God's commands when there is an opposing reason for the sake of something else is a greater expression of love when you obey. The faith in those waiting for Jesus to return, not obeying the Spirit consistently, is dead. When you obey the Holy Spirit, God can make a way where there seems no way. For you personally, each time he delivers you, your confidence in God will increase. You will have an ever-increasing hope that he will raise you up on the last day and be part of the first resurrection. This is the blessed hope. If Jesus is your first love, your priorities will be unchanged at the end of your life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The wisdom of 7.8 billion people, including the experts, advising on what to do next, with their earthly wisdom is foolishness compared to God. Standards that came through those keeping his commandments have prevented sin abounding up to now. God is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. Those who are wise trust and obey. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've been sharing with you about Paul seeing dimly. Do not let your ignorance of spiritual things become an excuse for being childish the rest of your life. God knows what's in your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. Humble yourself and confess your sin. When you get back in his presence, your peace and joy will return to you. Use the fresh grace you gained and godly sorrow to understand what got between you and your relationship with God and repent. Deep repentance will prepare you for whatever God has planned next in your life. Keep denying yourself consistently and take up your cross daily, and you'll be ready for anything. If you get in the flesh, your sins are not covered. Those who stay in Christ are humble and get more grace to change. Your priority is to hear God in the small things and obey. Be faithful in the little and you'll be faithful in the much. Father, I pray for those who listen to this message. Father, I pray that their eyes and ears will be opened. That, Father, that you have everything in your hands. That right now, that they will make no excuses for anything that you're showing them. That they will make a sin list, of those things that you're showing them personally. And Father, as those things pass away, you encourage them how they're making progress daily. And they're pressing towards that mark of the high calling that they have to serve you in your kingdom. Hallelujah. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.